Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line? Now 20% lower. Family plans? Also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Bedrosian throws to Sandberg, and the pitch is grounded to second base. Thompson has it, throws to first. It's over! 27 years of waiting have come to an end. The Giants have won the pennant.
It's Thompson to Clark. After a 5-game winning streak for the Giants that we hope continues this week in Colorado, and then continues when they play the Dodgers this weekend.
Yeah, finally, right? I mean, God, it's middle of June by the time we get to play them. It's insane.
I know. And I was just recapping the games this week, because when we went off the air last week, the Giants had lost the first game of the Padres series, or they were going to lose the game one of the Padres series. And then they lose game two in like really frustrating fashion. And Buster Posey's like, all right, it's time to do something here. The fans are disappointed. I'm disappointed. I think we've taken this, the starting pitching and the relief pitching for granted a little bit. And it's as far as we can go without at least changing it up a little bit. So that's what they did. And we saw the arrival of Dalton Johnson. We saw the arrival of Dominic Smith. We had to say goodbye, though, to one of our faves, Lamont Wade Jr., who just, for whatever reason, could not get it together. And they DFA'd him, but they eventually traded him to the Angels. And I think they have to eat a little bit of his salary. So he's over there. And yeah, and it seems to have worked. They also DFA'd Sam Huff. Sam Huff cleared, and he was outrighted to Sacramento. And then
Phoenix Firebird.
Yeah. And then Andrew Knisner is up as the backup.
The Niz. We'll call him the Niz.
The Niz, yeah. And Christian Koss was also sent down. So, you know, we'll probably see Chris Koss again at some point this season. But so he went down. And since that move, they are 5-0. They won the last two games against the Padres. They won the three. They swept the Atlanta Braves. The Braves were they were really trying to give us a couple of those games. They were just like, you know what, guys, we cannot win this game. You guys have to actually win this game. There was like wild pitches, like multiple ones. And the Giants were trying to say, no. We're going to get thrown out stealing and picked off of first base twice. We want you guys to have it. And eventually one of the teams had to win. But they also won in comeback fashion on Saturday. We got to see some really great relief pitching, which has been really the standout thing all season long. So, hey, feels like a fun celebration to start the week. What is a very interesting week? You know, I was thinking about the Colorado Rockies series. The Colorado Rockies are historically bad.
Right.
And sometimes
I haven't seen anything like this in years.
Yeah. I feel like this is more of a football game thing than anything else. But, you know, you have a big matchup in 2 weeks and you got to play a patsy the week before. And it's like, Admiral Akbar. It's a trap. Yeah, like, exactly. And so the series against the Rockies going into Colorado, we've had some interesting history there, but I almost feel like this is a trap series for the Giants coming off of this high of this 5-game winning streak.
Well, and when you look at it too, that the Padres are playing the Dodgers. So you've got those two teams battling it out. And we're hanging out right behind. We're you know, two percentage points behind the Padres for second place, which is only a game out of first place. So there's a possibility if the Giants don't get trapped that they go into Colorado sweep and the Padres take two out of three from the Dodgers and all of a sudden the Giants are in first place. I mean, that could very well happen. So, you know, it's going to be a kind of a fun week because then we go into LA right after that, like you talked about. And so some really kind of high stakes, even, I mean, who would have thought you go into Colorado in June and they're high stakes games, but they really are because it's a good place to kickstart the offense a little bit as well. Kind of broke out of the funk just a little bit there and then went back into the funk, you know, just scoring three runs, and still finishing the week 5-2. I was looking at the week. I was looking at the games and I was remembering the games this week. And it's one of those weeks where the Giants could have gone 7-0. And they could have just as easily gone 0-7, right? I mean, because again, the historic one-run game run that they're on, and so you have to look at it and say, if you finish 4-3 or above, then that's like literally a win because you could have lost every single one of those ball games this week.
Yeah, it makes you think, though. At the same time, because I completely get what you're saying. You also think back and you go, well, they've lost so many of those games. So maybe this is just the pendulum swinging a little bit and the luck changing a little bit. But, you know, at the end of the day, you are tempting fate by getting into so many of these one-run games because that is also the Atlanta Braves. The Atlanta Braves are also a team that plays a lot of these one-run games. And the Giants, thanks to the Atlanta Braves, now have a winning record in these one-run games. The Atlanta Braves are like really, really bad in these one-run games. And that's kind of the difference between the two seasons. Now, what do you think? So the Dodgers and the Padres, they believe that is really the rivalry in baseball right now. Those are the two teams who believe that they should be the best team in the National League and maybe the best team in baseball. The Padres are hanging by this idea that, you know, they kind of failed in the series against the Dodgers last year, or else they would have been the World Series champions. And the Dodgers kind of still see them as like little brother in a sense. But I kind of like it because you have the Dodgers and the Pirates kind of fighting for this mythical championship. And the Giants are just like hanging out. They're like, hey, don't mind us. We're just going to be over here. Like, don't even worry about us. We don't really hit that well. Like, you know, we're just going to kind of hang out. We're not going to really be a factor in this thing. We'll just kind of just be in third place and watch you guys slug it out. But that's kind of what it feels like. And I don't mind it because if you look at it roster by roster, yeah, the Giants are kind of like in this in a way where the other two teams probably don't really feel threatened. But at the same time, there's also less pressure on the Giants and they're not really supposed to be here. And so, you know, let those guys have all the pressure. Let those guys beat each other up and we'll just be there to play baseball and maybe pick up some pieces this weekend.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. So my coworker and next door neighbor at work in the IT department, he's a big Dodgers fan. He's got the Dodgers neon sign in his office. He's from LA area. He told me today, I said, you know, hey, big week, man, we're going to go into LA and see what happens. He goes, yeah, but we got the Padres first. And he goes, no offense, but I think I hate the Padres more. So I was like, well, that's kind of sacrilegious. You're supposed to hate us more. Why don't you hate us? Hate us, please. But it, like you said, yeah, you don't want him to. You want him to kind of forget about us, right? 2021 kind of forgot, didn't forget about us, but we were just doing our thing and winning ball games. Belt Crawford and Posey were doing their thing, kind of a resurgence of the heyday and the championship years. And the Padres were kind of hanging around, and then all of a sudden, last 2 months of the season. Now it's a Giants-Dodgers battle. And then the rivalry was kind of reborn. And then, you know, and then what happened after that, we were kind of forgotten about a little bit. Mm-hmm. But we're back to make some noise. And the Diamondbacks, I mean, you got Corbin Burns going for Tommy John surgery. So I don't know what's going to become of the Diamondbacks.
They've actually been struggling of late, too. I think they're actually under 100 at this point.
Yeah, so then you have to look at that and say, instead of a four-team race, which we were trying to punch it in and make it a four-team race, that was our hope at the beginning of the season. Now, all of a sudden, it's kind of a three-team race, and we're hoping to stay in it. But you have to look at this team, this Giants team, and say, you know, they're a piece or two away from really kind of digging into a wild card spot, possibly the division. Although, yeah, I mean, you don't know what the Dodgers are going to do, but all you do know what the Dodgers are going to do with their pitching staff and just put them all on the IL, because that's kind of seems to be what happens every week.
They're just hoping that Glasnow and Snell and maybe even Sasaki, like, don't worry about right now. We'll keep it together with glue and some scotch tape. and you guys, we're going to put bubble wrap around you guys so that we only rely on you guys in the second half of the season. And just cross your fingers that, you know, you get the Blake Snell of last year's second half. Because if you do get the Blake Snell of last year's second half, then you got an ace all the way down the stretch.
Yeah, and they also had Tony Gonsolin, who came off of the IL, and they thought, well, he's an answer to the rotation. He just went back on the IL, so they just can't keep any arms healthy. But this is the time. I was thinking about it yesterday, too, and the Giants are on a run. Don't get me wrong. They're on a five-game winning streak. Put some 10 games over 500. They're still a game back. But the Giants are very capable of going on a run that's even bigger than this right now, because they're healthy, knock on fake wood. But you've got the Padres, who are also healthy, but they're scuffling a little bit too. And they're having a hard time scoring runs as well. And then you've got the Dodgers, who are hurt quite often. And they've got a lot of guys on the IL for a long time. And a lot of guys who just aren't performing right now. So this is the Giants' chance as a healthy team who's played in so many, you know, battle-tested one-run games to really go on that big run. And I'm not talking about you got to win 15 in a row. No, you go 17-6 or, mm-hmm. you know, 20-7 and just something, just a large run where you can break out to a little bit of a National League West lead. And then really, really put some pressure on the Padres and the Dodgers to then possibly make some moves as we get closer to the end of July. Because as of now, I think the Giants are going to have to make a move and pick up a bat somewhere if they are really going to want to make a lot of noise in October. I mean, with their pitching, they can make noise, but if you got an offense that can score 5 or 6 runs with that pitching staff, that's championship caliber. Any team would look at that and be jealous of the bullpen, of the starting pitching, and say, if we score 5 runs a game, we're like 20, 30 games over 500, and we're a really, really good baseball team.
I want to make mention first. Buster Posey had an interview. He did an interview with Tim Kawakami, and he said some stuff that I thought was pretty interesting. But before that, I want to make this mention, which is I've been dying to get my buddy Draven on this show because he's a giant Dodgers fan. And like, he feels the same way about the Giants as we do about the Dodgers. He was raised that way. And he's interested. And we're trying to set up for this week. Problem is, if you've been paying attention to any of the news, he lives in LA and there's a lot of insanity going on in LA. And he is possibly going to be out there protesting. So he was like, I think I can do it, but I may also be doing some other stuff because it's just getting nuts out here and I need to, you know, use my time in a really good way. And I told him, 100%. So we have plans to do it this week. If it happens, it'll be great. I think it's going to be fantastic. I have a great layout for the show. It's just going to be called Giants versus Dodgers. And we're just going to talk about our distaste for each team, and it'll be fun because, you know, he's knowledgeable about their current team and he can tell us a little bit about that team. But I also want it to be where Dodgers fans may be interested in listening to this show as well. So that'll be cool. We'll see. If we do it, it'll probably be like, you know, two or three times a year kind of thing, not a weekly thing like Brad and I, but it'll just be a little supplemental to Thompson to Clark. Okay, back to the Buster Posey, Tim Kawakami thing. I sensed, now Buster could be playing poker knowing that this quote, this interview was going to get out there. I sensed that Buster Posey believes starting pitching is the key to the whole thing. And if you have starting pitching that is dominating the other teams, you don't mess with it. So we've been thinking about who could be the arm piece to get a bat. Could it be Kyle Harrison? Could it be Hayden Birdsong? Could it be Landon Roop? Could it be Carson Wisenhunt? And based on what Buster said, it very much sounds like they are not going to mess with what is good right now. But he also said, you are trying to win every single year, so you are not waiting at the same time. I don't sense that they're going to make this emergency deal, which I fully expect the Padres to make this like emergency deal because they see their window in a specific way. And the Dodgers can do that every single year and sort of be fine. That's just the economics of baseball in, you know, right now. They are definitely the haves, and almost the rest of the league outside of a couple teams is the have nots. So will Buster make an aggressive move? He actually compared trading or making a deal to like buying a house or buying a car, where you kind of know you're close when you're starting to get uncomfortable. And he says the deals that happen, you kind of have to be uncomfortable because you're not fleecing the other side. You know, it's going to be a trade, and the way that you make trades is to give up value to get value. So I thought that was pretty interesting. Basically him saying if it's uncomfortable to do this, and that's when you know it's close. So that is something to keep an eye on as far as what the Giants do, because, you know, we were like begging Farhan to do something in at the trade deadline, and he was just like, sorry, we weren't going to win the trade, so, you know, I'm not going to do anything. And maybe that worked out for us because he did not give up the starting pitching that we currently have now.
Yeah.
All right.
I have something on that real quick. Just okay. That's a tough one because you almost have to look at the window of starting pitching and possible dominant starting pitching for the Giants, even though Logan Webb is 28 years old and we have him until 2028. He's
you mean the strikeout kid right now?
The strikeout kid, where I don't know where it's coming from, but I'm enjoying it. So you almost have to look and say, is the window just opening because you've got the young guys? Because if you look at, you could have Webb, Harrison, Birdsong, Wisenhunt in the starting rotation, and then you're looking for a fifth starter. It doesn't have to be anybody fantastic. It has to be somebody who can go out there every day and get you like, you know, a 4 ERA and keep you in ball games. And then in the offseason, you start looking at adding more like Willy Adames. And I know he's struggling. Everybody's frustrated. He has a track record where he's going to come out of this. I'm not worried about it. It is frustrating to watch, but he's going to catch fire and we're all going to see. And so you go out and you get another free agent like a Willy Adames, and you add to the young core that the Giants have. Then you're going to have Eldridge, and you've got Bailey there for a long time as your catcher. You know, and Chapman signed for another few years. You got Ramos, Jung-Hoo Lee. This is going to be a pretty dangerous team for years to come. So do you want to give up some of that window opening starting rotation? I don't know. That's a really, really tough one. And Buster Posey in his first season, because we all thought it was going to be a rebuilding, right? We thought, okay, we're 500. Mm-hmm. Now if we're like, you know, 5-6 games over 500, great, that's progress, and then we'll build on that. We're not going to make the playoffs this year, and we'll just kind of go from there. But then we started seeing spring training. Then we saw Willy Adames, and we said, oh, I think we're getting a little serious, and this pitching staff could be something. But do you go all in to get that piece to push this year and then possibly mortgage your future? I don't know. That's a really tough one. And I know we're going to be talking about it a lot more as we get closer to July. It's only the beginning of June, so we've got, like, you know, at least 6 more weeks where we're going to be discussing this. So,
yeah. All right, let's talk about something that we forgot to talk about last week, which is we started this year to do players of the month. So one positional player, one pitcher. And we also thought it would be nice to do like an unsung hero of the month, maybe someone off of the radar from what you may be thinking is the player of the month. And so I did pitching last time. You did positional players this time. We'll split it up. We'll do the opposite. So I'll go first with my positional player of the month, and you can do your pitcher of the month, and then cool. I'll do unsung hero, then you do unsung hero. All right, so this one was not very hard if you've been watching how many runs the Giants have been scoring, but I thought there were two really strong contenders for positional player of the month for the Giants, and I'll give you my runner-up here. Matt Chapman hit .284 in the month of May with a .364 on base and an almost .500 slugging, so he was at 859 as far as his OPS was concerned. Uh-huh. Hit 5 jacks just like he did in April, March, but struck out way less and had more hits. So it goes from hitting 198 in April and March to hitting 284 in May. And he was my runner up because none other than Eliot Ramos. He hit a pretty robust .347 in May. .407 on base, .600 slugging, 6 jacks, 18 RBI. Also struck out less in May than he did in April/March. And I'm trying this May that he had is kind of making me wonder, like, you know, last year he had a good, really good first half, fell off in the second half. He was okay in April, and now he's had a really strong May. You kind of wonder if he's the real deal. Like, is he going to be a consistent, possible all-star from here on? You know, I don't even know how long until he's even becomes arbitration eligible. Like, we're probably still talking, you know, several years away. To get this much value from him is absolutely fantastic, and he's kind of their offensive MVP, and he's one of the lowest paid players on the team. And so when you can have that, you're talking about maximizing value. So Eliot Ramos is our May positional player of the month.
Yeah, that's a good one. He's carried the team. I mean, when the team was really struggling to score runs, he was kind of there, and he won some ball games for them this month. So definitely a great pick. I'm going to go. This was a tough one. No, it wasn't a tough one at all. Pitcher of the month for May for us, for our show, was also the National League Pitcher of the Month. And Robbie Ray, he was 4-1 on the month, 1.38 ERA, which is just ridiculous. 39 innings pitched. He only gave up 23 hits, struck out 45 in 39 innings. Only walked 11, gave up 6 runs. I mean, just phenomenal. He 6 quality starts in 6 starts. So every start he went out there in May was a quality start. Kind of just set the tone for the pitching staff in May. Everybody kind of followed suit with Robbie Ray. And it's great because, again, we've got him for $25 million this year, and we've got him for $25 million next year. So if he continues to pitch like this, stays healthy, pitches like this year and next year, that's a bargain, $25 million for a starting pitcher. who has a Cy Young in his back pocket too. Let's not forget that. And he's also battling for a Cy Young this year, if you really look at it too. Battling to possibly be the National League starting pitcher. It's going to go to Paul Skeens, I know. But you never know. It could be Robbie Ray. So that's my pitcher of the month.
What I like most about it, as JJ calls him, Roberto Ray, I like that, you know, the guy's going to give up a bomb here and there.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, hey, he hit it kind of far. Tip my hat to him, and I'm going to go strike out the next three guys.
Right, exactly.
High fastball. Sit down. I gave up a home run. Yeah. Big whoop. That's what I love best about Robbie Ray.
He grunts and he gets pissed off. What more could you want from a starting pitcher? You got to have a starting pitcher with attitude. And it's nice because you got Logan Webb and you got Robbie Ray. Those guys both have attitude. Both of those guys could be your number one. Mm-hmm. You know, Verlander back in the day could have been, he could have been the Giants number one easily. He was a number one anywhere. Can't quite be a number one. So when he comes back, it's going to be hard for the pitching staff. But I think Robbie Ray is going to continue to lead the way. That's our pitcher of the month, stud.
Hey, if Birdsong and or Roop continue to pitch as well as they're pitching, you get the benefit of calling Verlander your four or five. Like, that's great.
Yeah, because you can just pop Harrison back into the bullpen longer. Unless you want to get Harrison back down to AAA to get those starts, you definitely can, and leave Jelly. Jelly's doing a good job, so you can leave him where he's at too. And then when Jordan Hicks comes back, hopefully healthy, hopefully better. You know, he gets a little brain break right now, which is kind of nice. So
I heard Dave Fleming say that Eric Miller, as the sole lefty, isn't having as good of a season. But if you put Harrison back in the bullpen and you have kind of the dual lefties, they may be able to kind of help each other out and just be, you know, be two weirdo lefties hanging out together in the bullpen.
It's always good to have. I like that.
All right. My unsung hero of the month is the person who Brad selected last month as the player of April, because he hit seven jacks for the team and had and was leading the league in RBI at the time. Yeah. It is Wilmer Flores. And I would bet if people tried to contrast the 2 months, they probably thought he fell off in May. He absolutely fell off from a home run perspective.
Right.
He had the better month in May overall.
Oh, geez.
Okay, so this would is not why the numbers tricked me. I was like, this can't be true. Okay, so in April, Wilmer hit 229, 282 on base, 422 slugging. In May, he hit 278, 352 on base.
Jeez.
And the slugging was a little bit down, 412, but his OPS was 60 points higher in May than it was in April. Now, he didn't have the crazy RBI, but he still had like the team lead, I think, in RBI for the month. And if you go to like, some of these other, these different, like the more analytical stats, like he had the better month in May than he did in April when he hit more home runs and had more RBI. So that was a little bit interesting to me. Now, the one statistic that he was not as good in April, in March, April, as he was in May. In March, April, he only hit into two double plays, and in May, he hit into nine. So,
ooh, good Lord. Yeah, that's not good.
Nine double plays. Yeah.
Well, he's not going to beat out any double plays, so we know that. So if you got a runner on first and hits a ball on the ground, you're kind of in trouble.
Yeah, in April, March, he had 25 overall hits, seven homers and 18 singles. So no doubles or triples. But at least in May, he had four doubles to add to his three home runs. So, he didn't own, it wasn't home run or single every single time in May.
Yeah.
Jeez. All right. What about you for unsung hero?
All right. Unsung hero. And, you know, he's been sung about quite a bit in June, and there's a little bit of you know, rambling going on around his name, and that is Randy Rodriguez.
He picked him up in our fantasy league, by the way.
Yeah, you gotta
well,
have
actually,
him.
You know what? I didn't. He's on waiver, so who knows? I may not get him. Okay. Somebody with, but my team is kind of bad, so I kind of wonder if I'm gonna get the waiver priority. I haven't looked to see where my waiver priority was lately.
Yeah, I think you are. I've got it up right now. You are first, so you're going to get
him. Okay, so I'm going to get him.
Yeah, yeah. You don't have to worry about it. The reason I didn't pick him up is because I kind of feel like Doval is going to have a hold on that for a while. But it's always good to have a backup closer like that just in case. And he's going to pick up saves.
He pitches a lot of innings, which is, I think, where his value is. Because the guy that I had in that spot was the lefty from the Phillies, Stram, is Matt Stram.
Yeah,
and like he's only got 28 innings, and Randy Rodriguez has got like 40 some odd innings, and he strikes out more than a batter per nine. So, yeah, you know, unless you're chasing saves, which I have two closers, and only one of them is really pitching like a closer. So maybe I should have actually tried to chase saves. But you know, when you get the chance to add a giant who is cooking you,
yeah, and that's the thing. And he's one injury or one blow up away or two blow ups away from being the Giants closer.
Yeah.
And in the month of May, he pitched 13 innings. He led the team with a 13.85 K per nine. His walk per nine, not fantastic, but it was 2.08 per nine, which is good. But then when you look at the rest of the Giants relievers, it's not, you know, excellent. His ERA in the month of May was, you know, zero, which is always going to kind of get you an unsung hero award. His FIP was 0.68. He pitched in 12 games. 13 innings pitched. In the 12 games that he pitched into, the Giants were 7-5. He was also 2-0 himself, so he got two wins. Because, you know, when you pitch in close ball games and the Giants are come from behind team, you're going to get the benefit of those wins late in ball games. But in 13 innings, he had 20 strikeouts. He's the guy. He's the catalyst in the bullpen. Giants technically have three closers. I mean. They're spoiled basically when it comes down to it. So you almost wonder when it comes down to picking up a bat, do you give up a guy like that? I don't think you do, but it's always, you know, up for discussion, because if you could throw in a Ryan Walker, he could close on a lot of teams. There's probably teams that are scuffling right now for a closer. Texas Rangers, they need a closer. They could be a good team. They could make some noise in the American League West if they had a true closer. So you could do a deal like that and pick up a young bat, maybe that can make some noise for the Giants. But either way, I'd hate to see anything happen to those three guys. Cause if you want to win a championship and if you want to do a lot of damage in the playoffs, you got to have that dirty, nasty bullpen. Cause if you get out to a 3-0 lead and all of a sudden the sixth or seventh inning, you turn the ball over to the bullpen, then it can get pretty ugly for the opposing team.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line, now 20% lower. Family plans, also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same you as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get not that good at it yet. You could do about half of your New Year's resolution. You could learn a few songs on the piano or pick up bass guitar. Or you could start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. Men, if you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your home. Hims provides you with the convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized, chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies on topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
All right, let's get to the segment that I really cannot wait to get to. We are about to give our top. You know what? Actually, I almost jumped the gun. We still need to give our player of the week. Who was the player of the week?
Player of the week is going to, I got to pull up the stats. I can't do this without stats. You know how that goes.
All right, I'll play the little gimmick here.
Player of the week is the great Logan Webb. He had a nice week. He had 14 innings pitched, 2 starts, both of them quality starts. Didn't get a win because of the Giants offense. I do believe they won one of those games. I think he lost 1-0 in one of them, but I think they won the other one.
That was the first Padres game?
I think it was, yeah. 14 innings pitched on the week, 17 strikeouts, 2 earned runs. And no walks. I mean,
I think he's third in the National League in strikeouts, which is insane for pitcher.
Yeah, during his start, he got up to like 95, 96, something like that.
I think he's over 100. I think he's over 100.
Oh, geez. Okay. Yeah, if you look at his game log, I wanted to look at the game log, but it's not coming up. But yeah, he did have 2 quality starts in the Giants. If they could just get him that offense and quit Matt Caning this guy.
I know.
You know, he could be easily in the Cy Young Award.
I want someone, one of these really smart baseball websites, Baseball Prospectus or whatever, you know, these really smart guys. I want them to study if the offense kind of settles a little bit when the ace is on the mound. Like, oh, there's no real urgency because we know that, you know, he's only going to give up a run or two, so we only got to score a couple of runs here and there. Because that's what it feels like when the Giants hitters, you know, with Logan Webb, they're like, oh, we got Logan Webb. You know, no, we're going to win this game. No worries. No pressure on me. And then it's just like they can't hit to save their life.
I always feel like it's the opposite. I feel like they try too hard to get him a run or 2 runs or 3 runs, or they feel like we get him 1 run, that's enough. He's going to shut him down. And so they're scuffling though. They're trying to get more runs and more runs because they want to, you know, they know they have their ace on the mound. So they want to make him happy and get him that W. So I feel like they even try harder to the point where it's detrimental, but that's just me.
All right. Now we can get to our segment here. Our bitter Giants fan segment. I asked Brad to come up with a list of his top five most hated Dodgers of all time. And we're going to go back and forth. We'll start with five, yeah, and cool. We'll get to one.
We're probably going to have some of the same.
I think we're going to have some of the same. Yeah,
I have a feeling. I hope this list isn't just five that we both put exactly the same. I have a feeling this list is going to be more like seven.
I also have some honorable mentions that we can discuss at the end of our five here. Do you want to start or you want me to start?
Yeah, I'll kick it off. Okay. I mean, and this one, if you're a Giants fan, this isn't a player. If you're a Giants fan, you pretty much grew up hating this guy. If you're of our age, right? Mm-hmm. You hated Tommy Lasorda more than anything. Anytime that guy walked out on the field, you boo him. Everybody would wave at the crowd, blow kisses to the crowd, spaghetti sauce all over his jersey.
Trip and fall.
Yeah,
humble, exactly. Bounce roll over.
That time, what did he, which was it, the Fanatic that he got into? Got into it with one time in Philly. I can't remember exactly, but either way, Tommy Lasorda is my most hated because he always led the Dodger teams that had Mike Socha on it. And they were very frustrating to watch, frustrating to play against because they always tried to bully the Giants and the Giants fought back. So that was always fun. So he's definitely my number one. I didn't really do this in order, but I wanted to start with him because if I had a number one, he would be my number one.
Okay, so you're going 1 to 5 or 5 to 1?
I just went with my top one. Okay. The rest are totally interchangeable.
Okay, I'll start with my fifth because I did this in backwards order.
Okay, I didn't rank them. I wasn't really thinking about that, but I'll go to the bottom after this.
So. Okay, so I'll read you my dad's list because Lasorda was also on my dad's list. When I asked him, he said 5 Tommy Lasorda, 4 Steve Garvey, 3 Yasiel Puig, 2 Don Drysdale, and 1 Maury Wills. And I was like, why Maury Wills? And he said he ran us crazy.
I
hated when he got on base. The Giants watered down the base paths just to try and slow him down.
I did hear about that, yeah.
So that's his list. Okay, I'll start with number 5. Same era as your Lasorda pick.
Okay.
No real reason. Like in some cases, I hated the guy because they just were always good against the Giants. Sometimes it's like, gosh, I just hated seeing their face. And that's a little bit with this one is this guy was like not the greatest player ever. But when I started watching the Giants, I want to say he was their leadoff hitter and he seemed to always be on base. And I hated his face, Steve Sachs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was a frustrating guy to watch because, yes, he would get base hits when there was no way he was going to get a base hit. Ball outside, just off the plate, and he'd slap it in the right field. And you're like, no, we had it, and there were two outs. We had him.
Yeah, Steve Sachs, and just the idea of, you know, second baseman, and he's kind of like a just randomly just get on base and he'll steal a bag. He's like a pest.
Yes.
You know, it's kind of unfortunate because near the end of his career, he was more so like a guy who kind of lost it. Like, remember, he just could not throw to first base for some reason. Right. Like, just like one of the, but when I started playing, I was like, oh, this guy's so annoying. He's just always a thorn in our side. So Steve Sachs is my number 5. All right. Who's next for you?
I like that. Well, let me look at my list. Let's see if I can make some sense of my list. I'd say, I can't put that guy's up there. I'm going to go with the last guy that snuck into my list. And this is going to be a little controversial for Giants fans. But the last guy on my list is Jeff Kent.
I was going to ask you about him.
Yeah. The fact that he jumped ship and went to the Dodgers and then had a lot of success with the Dodgers on some winning ball clubs, that really kind of, you know, chopped my hide a little bit because he broke his arm falling off the truck and all the other stuff. And then he goes to the Dodgers and does fantastic.
Yeah. I see. I was thinking the same thing. I was like, for some reason, I think he played well. And then I was looking at Baseball Reference because I was kind of going through all of the lineups. So I think he leaves the Giants in 2004.
Right. No, in 2002. And then after 2002, and then he goes to Houston for 2.
Okay, he went to that's what it was. He went to Houston first, and he shows up in LA in 2005.
Right.
And they lost 91 games that year.
Right.
And then,
right, 06, 07, 08, those 3 years.
What?
The next years after that, 6, 7, and 8, when he's with them.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't they good ball clubs?
I didn't really check the record, but I looked at his numbers. He was like almost a minus war player in some of those years. Ooh. As he got older. So my recollection is the same as yours, which is that he was still a really good player. But then when I was looking at the numbers, I was like, wait, maybe I just misremembered this. And he was kind of like an old man who left the Giants at the right time.
Maybe we just remembered that because we hated him so much.
Yeah, that's the thing is that even when he was on our team, he was not friends with Barry Bonds, which made us kind of side-eye him unless he was an MVP, which he was 1 year.
Well, and that's like, and I didn't put this guy on my list, and I don't want to ruin it, but like Manny Ramirez, he's another guy. He went to the Dodgers. I don't think he played that well. And I don't think he did that well, but
he also got in trouble on the Dodgers, I think.
He did, yeah, quite a bit. And we just hated him because he went to the Dodgers. I liked him before that because I liked him with the Tribe.
Yep.
I liked him in Boston. I enjoyed watching his goofiness. And then he goes to the Dodgers. All of a sudden, I hated him.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, no, I think Jeff Kent would be my five.
Okay. No, it's a good one. He was on like my honorable mention list, but when I started to look into the numbers, I was like, oh, man, maybe he wasn't as good as I remember. Yeah, okay.
I'm surprised.
Number four for me is going to be somebody that was on my dad's list and somebody who is number one for Madison Bumgarner. And that is Yasiel Puig. The problem with Puig and why I don't think he ranks higher on this list is he just was only good for like a little while. Like he didn't have like this longevity. Like somebody else who's going to be on my a couple other guys who are going to be on my list. Like he was a thorn in our side for a short time. And, you know, there was some bench clearing stuff with him and Mad Bum. But and also there were some instances where I was like, OK, Mad Bum, this was kind of your fault. It's kind of not Puig's fault. It's kind of your fault. But, you know, you had to back your guy and Puig was a prima donna and Bumgarner could be a bit of a prima donna at times as well. But he's just very memorable as a guy that you wanted to dislike in the years the Giants were really good. You're like, yeah, that's the guy we want to beat. That's the guy whose face we want to put on the dartboard when we throw the darts. Like it's Yasiel Puig.
He was the catalyst for the hatred because we were winning ball games and we were winning championships. And then here comes this guy that you go, oh no, this guy has raw power. He looks like he can lift a school bus. And when he would hit the ball and leg out a double, you're like, man, this guy's got ridiculous speed too. So I think we were a little scared too, because we're like, is this guy going to be bugging the crap out of us?
Well, we thought he might be like one of the best players in baseball for a long time. And it just,
yeah. So that's enough. And the fact that Mad Bum didn't like him was enough for us, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think
mm-hmm.
that was enough for us to say, I don't like that guy.
Yep.
So he was on my list. So I'm going to we'll skip him. I'm going to go with number four here. Actually, I'd probably put Puig number four also.
Okay.
So I'm jumping to number three now. My third on my list, Eric Gagne.
Oh, wow. Yeah. He was on my honorable mention list for sure. Yeah.
Did not like that guy. Anytime you got a Dodger reliever coming in and throwing 100 miles an hour, looking like a goofball with the glasses and the goofy half goatee, and then the time Bonds hit that mammoth shot off of him, kind of just soothed our souls for a little bit. But Gagne, just watching him all those years in the playoffs with the Dodgers, and coming in against us in the ninth inning, because you knew secretly kind of the ball game was over at that point, and that's what was frustrating, and that was good enough reason to hate Eric Gagne right there.
The other reason why I didn't like him, and so this kind of comes out after the fact, but you know, during this steroid era where all of these hitters were taking all of the responsibility.
Yeah,
this dude is like increasing his miles per hour by like 8 or 9 miles per hour. And then the drug testing comes in and then he's a nobody. And so you're like, wait a second. how come nobody cares about this guy?
Right.
And they only care about these hitters, and these guys are in baseball jail, and nobody cares about him. And so that was the thing where I was like, yeah, what a dirty rat that guy is. He kind of got out of there unscathed a little bit.
Oh, yeah. And you look at his saves. What do you have? Three years in a row, 52 saves, 55 saves, and then 45 saves. That was 2002, 3, and 4. So that's when we were kind of battling to get back to the World Series after 2002. And then you got this guy, and it was hard to get past the Dodgers if they had a lead late in the ballgame. Just couldn't stand that guy.
All right, so my next two are tied. They're tied for second. So these are my second and third. They are both pitchers, by the way. One of these guys, when the Dodgers were talking about having a LGBTQ night, he was like, hey.
Oh, there you go.
How come we don't have like a Christian night? What's going on here? And the other guy who he's tied with, and also, by the way, he always beats us. He was Brandon Belt's worst nightmare. And the other guy was not as successful of a Dodger as the previous was. But he was very hard on the Giants. And I just hated him because I just thought he was a giant dick. I don't know if he was a giant dick. I have no idea.
You just assumed because he was wearing Dodger blue?
Maybe he's a nice guy. I just felt when he was on the mound, he was kind of just a jerk and he was trying to rub it in on stuff. So tied for second, Kevin Brown and Clayton Kershaw.
There you go. Kevin Brown's another guy that got away with the whole steroid thing too. He all of a sudden started looking like Atlas, right? I mean, that guy had shoulders and lats, and I mean, God, he had every, all of a sudden the guy was yoked, and I think that's what killed his career too. He got too big.
Yes. He just like, he was really good. It seemed like whenever he pitched against the Giants, he could throw a no-hitter at any time. And maybe he even threw a no-hitter against the Giants at one point.
He did. I was there.
Was he with the Rangers?
He was with the Marlins at the time.
Okay.
And it was Kevin Brown against Van Landingham. And they both had no-hitters going to the fifth. But I think Van Landingham had walked like five to that point. So it was like, Van Landingham's not going to get it. And we skipped it. We were in college and we skipped a class at San Jose State just to go check out the ball game. So that had to be 97, 98. Somewhere.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So both those guys, Clayton Kershaw, yeah. Awesome Hall of Famer. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Yeah, I don't care for him at all.
I didn't even put him on my list because he's, I don't know. Yeah, I didn't even think he was worthy of the list because we just don't
it's
like him.
You feel sad for him now because he can only throw 87 miles an hour. Yeah.
He's no Bumgarner in the playoffs. We know that.
So. Yep.
And then my number two, right? Bear with me here. My number two. He's not, when you talk about hated Dodgers, if you're a Giants fan and you say this name, you usually have to remember that he was on the team mm-hmm. and what era it was.
Mm-hmm.
My number two is Mike Marshall.
That's an excellent one.
Yes.
That's an excellent one.
And you know why, right? You know why Mike Marshall is a hated Dodger if you're a Giants fan.
Wait, was there a fight?
There was a fight. It was the take that game. Where he pointed and he hit a home run. So it was April 21st, 1987. I was staying at a relative's house. I think it was in Auburn, California. I was in this little tiny room. It was bedtime. I had the radio on. I was listening to KMBR and I was just laying in bed listening to the game. It was late. It was an 8-8 ball game in the 10th inning. Roger Craig walks. So Scott Grelt is on the mound. Roger Craig intentionally walks Pedro Guerrero to get to Mike Marshall. Second time in the game he's done that. First time it panned out for the Giants. This time Mike Marshall hits a three-run jack to take an 11-8 lead in the 10th inning. As he's rounding the bases, he starts pointing at Roger Craig in the dugout saying, take that, and then points at Scott Grelton and says, take that. So Roger Craig comes out of the dugout. He's standing, he's pointing, yelling at him. And everything's, you know, they kind of break up. Everybody goes back to the dugout. No bench is clear at this point. Next batter, Lou Trevino. Scott Gorelitz throws one like 8 feet over his head. He's trying to hit him. Totally misses him. It was 8 feet over his head. Bench
maybe, maybe his glasses were fogged up because he was so excited.
The wind knocked him off. Yeah. Pedro Guerrero comes running out. They have to hold him back. That was the first. So that was 87. I was 14 years old. I already knew to hate Tommy Lasorda.
Yeah. Yeah.
I knew to hate Mike Socha, you know, those guys. But that was my first real, like, oh man, now I got a target on this guy's back.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like. And Mike Marshall was dubbed as soft.
Yeah.
Like the rest of his career, because I think he asked Lasorda to be sat down for a ball game because of general soreness.
Okay, so I love that story, and I'm glad that you reminded me about that story.
Yeah.
Mike Marshall wasn't necessarily on my list, but it was more because I just didn't think he was that good. Like he was kind of like right. his very memorable name. But then when you look at his overall career, you're like, yeah, he was solid. But yeah. But that's the reason why
that's enough to hate. That's enough to hate. You point at Roger Craig and say, take that when you're rounding the bases in 1987. Even now, that's a problem. But in 1987, that was a huge problem in a rivalry game, too.
Yeah, maybe that's why the Giants won the division. That was the inspiration. All right, go ahead and give your number one.
Well, it was Tommy Lasorda.
Okay, Tommy Lasorda. Sorry, forgot.
Yeah, that was my five. Yeah.
Okay, so my number one, and this probably solely has to do with the year of 1993. Dodgers had a 30-some-odd round draft pick who was friends with, who was son of a friend of Tommy Lasorda or a Dodger scout or something, and he comes out and he's got the like the long hair in the back, and you know, catcher can't really do much behind the plate, but just is bashing baseballs as a rookie. It's like 30 the, jacks.
The ladies loved him.
Ladies love him.
Fu Manchu.
And Giants are competing with the Braves for the division title. There's no wild card at this point in 1993. The Braves have beat the Colorado Rockies. Like I don't even think the Rockies, who were the expansion team, lost to the Braves one time that year. Giants needed to win, I believe, to force a playoff of some way. And they just get smoked by the Dodgers. I feel like Mike Piazza hit like 25 home runs that game. Maybe it was just one.
A 12-1 game. It's possible he hit 12 home runs.
And you know, the Giants fans relish of times where we've knocked the Dodgers out of playoff spots. So I'm sure the Dodgers relish the opportunity to knock the Giants out of playoff spots. But from that day on, I was like, I hate this guy. I will never like this guy. And now here's another reason related to the steroid thing. I'm not saying that Mike Piazza was on steroids. He was sort of the same size throughout his entire career.
Yeah.
But who's saying that he didn't dabble before 1993, because the steroid stuff was very, very relevant in the late 80s. Again, I don't want to point the finger at that guy. I don't have a problem. Except nobody ever suggests that he could possibly have been one of those guys, because supposedly he was just like a nice guy, I guess. He was just like a cool guy. Like that's the reason why no one thinks that. And he gets in the Hall of Fame. Nobody cares. So that's just added fuel to the fire for me. Even though, you know, a lot of his good seasons were also with the Mets. It wasn't only with the Dodgers. But that 1993 season, forever, I was like, you know what? My team lost. I can't be that poor of a sport. They needed to win that game. But you know what I can do? I can hate this guy for the rest of my life. So Mike Piazza, what did Pete Franklin used to do? Flush that bum. Flushing sound, I'd flush on Mike Piazza right now.
Well, Piazza did admit to using Andro. So he did use it up until 98 when somebody discovered it in McGuire's locker. And then he's like, oh, I guess it's illegal. Maybe it's not. I don't know, but I should stop. But he did admit, I think, to Jim Rome that he did Andro.
So, oh God, that makes me
even more reason to hate the guy.
I want
to
hate him. I hate him right now, like just as much as 1993. Yeah. And I haven't seen this dude on a baseball field in like 10 years.
So when you're playing the show and his card comes up,
he sucks. I can't hit him for anything.
Yeah, he's a rough card. Yeah, everybody used to love. I love the Johnny Bench catcher card. That's the card that
I can't. I have a problem just hitting with right-handed hitters in general. So it's a hard one. Okay, a couple of guys that were on my honorable mention. Now, this is more just kind of one-offs more than anything else. Steve Finley, you remember Steve Finley had a game against us.
I remember the home run. I do.
The home run. I was really bummed
Dustin
about
Hermanson,
that.
Dustin Hermanson, right?
And didn't Steve Finley come and try and play for us for like a year? He did. Just terrible?
Yeah, that was the home run off of Dustin Hermanson 04?
I think.
Yeah, because we were... Right. We were still fighting for a playoff. So 02 World Series.
03, they won 100 games. They lost to the Marlins.
And 04, we were battling. It was kind of, you know, it was a tight battle there at the end. So
another person, Matt Kemp. He wasn't truly hateable because I kind of thought he was kind of like a cool dude. Like he seemed like he was a cool guy. And he was not. He was like Puig in that he was good for a short span of time, but he didn't have the longevity. But I just thought, I was like, this guy's kind of cool. I just wish he wasn't on the Dodgers.
Yeah, exactly. I felt that way. And I felt that way about this guy, too. And even when he went to the Padres, I was like, I would like him if he wasn't on the Dodgers or the Padres. But Adrian Gonzalez, he's another guy who would hit home runs, key home runs at key moments. And you're like, good God, can somebody get this guy out?
Yeah. Another guy who was kind of, I wouldn't call him a great, great player, but he just kind of, when you saw him, you're just like, oh, he's a Dodger. I don't like this guy. Justin Turner.
Yes.
Justin Turner, definitely. Even though he's played on other teams, you just see him as a Dodger and you're just like, I don't like that guy.
I think Denise said he looks like a Muppet.
my buddy Draven, who I may do the show with this week, he said he thought Max Muncy should be on that list. And I was like, yeah, he kills the Giants, but like, I don't, what has he done like to make me mad at him? Nothing yet.
He killed Bumgarner. That was kind of it. You know, it wasn't much to Muncy.
Now, this player is maybe my most hated player of all time, but he was not very good on the Dodgers, so he didn't make my list. But if he made my most hated players of all time, he would be number one, and that is Chase Utley.
Oh, my God, yeah.
When Jonathan Sanchez and Chase Utley were like kind of doing their thing in the NLCS, I wanted to jump on the field and help out Jonathan Sanchez. I hate
you were ready.
So
yeah. And didn't he hit him? No. Who did he? Somebody hit Utley. What was the game? And then Eli Whiteside came hopping out of the crouch. He started bouncing around the field. I want to say it was either Utley or Victorino. I can't remember.
Yeah. Those teams didn't like each other.
No. And then he goes, because then of all things, then Utley goes to the Dodgers and we're like, well, we already hate you.
Yeah. This is perfect. What are you doing that for? Great. Love it. You suck.
What about
check you out?
Here's a name that's another controversial one that's a tough call. But what about Brett Butler?
He was hanging there. Yeah. And I will say my love for that 1989 team kind of makes him going to the Dodgers less hurtful.
Yeah.
Because, and he did leave the Giants saying, when I was a kid, I always wanted to play for the Dodgers. And I was like, you're just kissing butt to that fan base. Who knows if that was really the case. I thought about that too. I thought about him and I was like, but I love that 89 team way too much to have him on a hated list. Whereas, I was fine with your pick of Jeff Kent.
That one's all right. That one's all right. I was there opening day when Brett Butler came out, 91, and they were introducing the teams, and he came out, Candlestick and hugged Tommy Lasorda. The crowd just, I mean, it was like, you know, it was WWE. It was heel. I mean, it was like big time and everybody just went nuts.
That's,
I mean,
awesome. The booing
place erupted when he did that. Got right at home plate, just gave him a big hug.
And what, I mean, we could have added someone like Kevin Elster, who hits three jacks in the debut of Pac Bell right. Park, but yeah,
but we won the division that year, so it's like,
we're like,
good
okay.
for Kevin Elster.
Yeah, you made everyone think that it was going to be a hitter's park when it was actually the opposite.
Yeah.
All right, so you're going to be off next week. I will find a suitable replacement. And we'll figure that out so that we do have another show this week. I'm also, like I said, I'm trying to get Draven to do a supplemental show to this at some point this week to preview Giants Dodgers. And I think Brian and I will do a Valkyries podcast this week. The Valkyries are actually really hot. They're hot because they won one game, but they really beat Las Vegas. They beat Las Vegas to a pulp on Saturday, and then they play tonight in Los Angeles. They've already beat the Sparks once. And so Brian and I will record a Valkyries podcast and probably do something Warriors related as well later this week. So have a great trip. Have some good time
and
off.
I'll see you. So
yeah. You can tell people when you're coming to town.
Yeah. So it'll be a week from Tuesday. What is that? The 17th? Yeah. 17th and 18th. You and I and the fams will be at two Giants Guardians night games, Tuesday and Wednesday. So that's going to be a blast.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. All right. So for Brad, I am Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
Peace.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line, now 20% lower. Family plans, also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone, all with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number. Not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.